You're listening to RTNT, Radio Totally Normal Toronto.
My mental illness allows me to be more compassionate.
I don't let it stop me from what I have to do in life.
My mental health helps me relate to other people.
I'm not afraid of it anymore.
I'm at peace with my mental illness.
Mental illness saved my life.
My mental illness has helped me learn about myself.
It's given me a new outlook on life.
Welcome to the December show of Radio Totally Normal Toronto on Met Radio 1280 AM. I am Marlene and I will be your host for this December 2023 episode. Radio Totally Normal Toronto, or RTNT for short, is a voice for community mental health produced by the members and staff of Progress Place, a mental wellness clubhouse in downtown Toronto. Mental health can be impacted by many different things, from life-changing events to everyday tasks. And one of the areas that we would like to explore today is about eating well for a better mental well-being. For our interview today, we had the pleasure to speaking to a dietitian from Regent Park Community Health to answer some of the questions that our members have regarding food and nutrition and its impact on mental health. But before I proceed, I have to read the disclaimer. And the disclaimer reads, this episode features perspectives and information that are not directly from RTNT. We are not health professionals who specialize in COVID-19 or any other physical health matters. If you have any questions, please contact your doctor directly for any health questions or concerns. If you are in crisis, please call 911. Or the Gerstein Christ Center, if you are in Toronto, at 416-929-5200. Enjoy the following interview featuring a dietitian from Regent Park Community Health Services. In this interview, we will learn about how our diet can affect our physical and mental health, tips to have a balanced diet, and meal planning on a budget. Firstly, let's hear from the dietitian to understand what is the difference between a dietitian and a nutritionist.
Nice to meet you. My name is Rachel. I am a registered dietitian at Regent Park Diabetes Education Program. So a registered dietitian in Ontario is a protected designation. So that means we respond to or we report to a college, the College of Dietitians of Ontario. Nutritionist is kind of a blanket term. You can be a dietitian potentially, but a dietitian is the protected term.
Next, we'd like to understand the link between eating well and mental health. So Rachel, how does our diet affect our mental health? And what are some foods we can eat to stimulate a healthy mind?
So our mental health can be affected by many different things, including exercise, diet, so any type of food, good or bad, gut health, and substances such as alcohol or drugs. There are also some mental health disorders that involve the diet, such as binge eating disorder, anorexia nervosa, and orthorexia. So what we eat can affect our mental health, and our mental health can also affect what we eat. So when you don't eat enough nutrient-rich foods, your body may lack vital vitamins and minerals, which may affect your energy, mood, and brain function. So examples of some things that affect our brain are vitamin D, the B vitamins, folic acid, selenium, and iron. Most of the time we can get these from the food we eat, but there are some instances we need a little extra. For example, vitamin D supplementation is recommended for pregnant people, older adults, those with darker skin, and everyone in the winter months in cold countries like Canada. There's also some emerging research which looks at the gut-brain axis or connection. In other words, how the bacteria in our gut can affect our brain. The bacteria in our gut are influenced by the foods we eat, so it'll actually be pretty exciting to see the future research. So there are many micronutrients, which are nutrients we need in small doses, like vitamins and minerals, and macronutrients, nutrients we need in larger amounts, that contribute to our overall brain health. Macronutrients include things like carbohydrates, protein, healthy fats, and water. A balanced and varied diet with all of these things can help stimulate a healthy mind. You can find these nutrients in foods like whole grains, fruits and vegetables, lean meat and fish, nuts and seeds, and legumes like beans.
Rachel, it was wonderful to hear what we can look out for in our diet for better physical and brain health. And it's quite interesting that you brought up vitamin D. I was recently told by my doctor that I need to add more vitamin D into my diet. I am an older adult, so it was good to hear that. Also, it's quite interesting when you mentioned that how our diet can affect our mood and our energy, and I totally agree with that. And I appreciate your thoughts on that. You are listening to the radio Totally Normal Toronto. Thanks for tuning in. We just listened to an interview with a dietitian regarding how our diet can affect our physical and mental health. Rachel, what are some tips on eating a balanced diet? Because I know having a balanced meal is definitely linked to having a good and healthy mind.
The first way I would answer that is to talk about the healthy plate model. So the new Canada Food Guide that came out in 2019 is very similar to the plate model that the Diabetes Canada has actually used for a longer time. So that ideal plate or ideal balanced plate would have half of your plate be vegetables, one quarter of your plate be starch. So a starch could be like rice, bread, pasta, or potatoes. And a quarter of your plate be protein. So this could include vegetarian proteins like tofu or beans or eggs, or they could include meat, fish, and other proteins. It's hard to give a proper balance because some people might be vegetarian or have certain dietary restrictions, but as long as you aim for the healthy plate model, that's generally going to give you some good results for overall health. So people of different ages and special backgrounds may have different nutritional needs. However, generally we want more of nutrients such as fiber, vitamins and minerals, and polyunsaturated fats. And we want less sugar, sodium, which is salt, and saturated fat. Saturated fats can contribute to higher cholesterol, and too much salt can contribute to high blood pressure. The first thing we want to do when we look at a label, though, is look for the serving size to compare it to the amount we are eating. We may have to do some math if it is not the same. For example, a bread label may have a nutrition fact label with a serving slice of one, but if we're making a sandwich, we'll have to make sure we double all the amounts. The percentage daily value is a quick and easy tool to help us make good food choices. So this can be found on the right-hand side of the label, where it indicates a percentage for that nutrient. Example, if the food has less than 5% of something, it would be considered a little. And if the food has more than 15% of something, it is considered a lot. So that's where we want to go back to which ones we want more of and which ones we want less of. We want more of fiber, vitamins and minerals, and healthy fats. And if the things we want less of would be sugar, salt, and saturated fat. The other thing to think about with changes is there really is no quick fix. So the research indicates that making small and sustainable changes over time is best for long-lasting change and long-lasting results. So sustainable means something that's realistic for you to do long-term and that you enjoy. We don't encourage anyone, you know, making quick changes that feel okay for a week, but after a week you're ready to throw in the towel.
Thank you, Rachel, for the great tips on how we can have a balanced diet. So Rachel, I wanted to mention that I eat a lot of salt and I have high blood pressure because of it. And I wanted to say that it is very important for all of us to read the labels concerning salt, how much salt is in something, how much sugar, and also the number, how much fat as well. All of that affects our health. In these times, it can be challenging to plan a balanced diet because we may not have the time to plan meals or because of the high prices of groceries. In our next segment, we will have a chat with Rachel to talk about meal planning on a budget. So, Rachel, what are some suggestions for cooking at home on a budget?
That question I do get a lot, as groceries are very expensive these days. So for many people, cooking at home can save you more money than eating out, so it is something we like to discuss. Starting in the grocery store, using grocery flyers or flyer apps, and shopping for store brand, if it is cheaper, can be helpful. Buying food in bulk is sometimes, but not always, more economical, so be sure to check the unit price. Another way you can buy in bulk is share large purchases between neighbors, friends, or family, as that tends to save money, especially if you live by yourself. Drop-in meal programs, markets, and food banks can also help fill in the gaps. Wasted food is expensive, so having staple foods that you can make several quick meals is cheaper than buying many, many items for a complicated recipe. So the short answer would be to look for recipes with fewer ingredients and steps, especially if newer to cooking. This helps prevent food waste from buying extra ingredients or having to repeat the same meal every day, and this helps save you time. Also, having ingredients that mix and match easily can be very handy for minimizing cost as well as time spent cooking. So for example, like cooking a large batch of rice or quinoa or another grain like that can lend itself to different meals. Maybe one day it's eaten as a side dish, the next day you add different toppings to make it like a rice bowl or a salad. If you live alone, it can be challenging to have a lot of variety without wasting food, so these are just a few tips. Another budget-friendly tip is to regularly include foods that incorporate leftovers or ingredients from your fridge. So this could mean adding any kind of leftovers or proteins to items like omelets, soup, stir-fry, fried rice, or sandwich toppings. And when we want to think more about cooking, we can look into more of the shelf-stable items. So learning about what you can keep not in the fridge can be very important, especially if you don't have a fridge very often at home. Nuts are relatively shelf-stable and a good source of healthy fats, vitamins and minerals, and protein. Canned fish, such as tuna, sardines, and salmon, or mussels, can be helpful and convenient for a quick source of protein and are shelf-stable. Dried and canned legumes, such as beans, peas, and lentils, are a good source of fiber and protein and are very economical. Vegetables like carrots, potatoes, and onions have a long shelf life, so even though they're fresh, they do last quite a long time. Lastly, frozen and canned produce can sometimes be more economical than fresh. Just be ensure to drain and rinse them to reduce the salt.
Oh, that was really good information, Rachel. Thank you so much for the fantastic tips on cooking at home on a budget. I'm sure many of us will find it useful during these times. Lastly, Rachel, I wanted to mention that I live alone, and yes, I've been wasting a lot of food living on my own and buying stuff. And I'm glad that you mentioned that. And the one thing I have to say that's really helped me a lot has been coming to Progress Place and eating their well-balanced meals. It's been very helpful to me, much cheaper. And I know that everything is either baked, and it has no salt, so it helps me, who basically loves salt and has high blood pressure. So I like that comment about going to, you know, different programs, and Progress Place is the right place to come and eat if you're looking to eat more healthy and to save a lot of money on groceries. Lastly, Rachel, would you like to share a closing comment?
When we are experiencing challenges with our mental health, it can be difficult to make healthy food choices, whether or not we have mental health conditions. This can happen due to the mental health challenge itself, or side effects of some mental health medications. So some examples can include a change in appetite, fatigue, distress, or even our ability to leave the house to go get groceries. If you suffer from any mental health conditions, it can be helpful to talk to your doctor, as well as a dietitian, to help set up a plan for you for good days, as well as a plan for bad days, even if it just means having healthy ingredients or ready-to-eat food stored at home.
Oh, thanks, Rachel, for that. You know, you're absolutely right. When you do have mental health issues, you don't sometimes worry about what you're eating because you don't care. And also, there is a relationship between, you know, taking medication can sometimes increase your appetite and you end up eating much more than you really want to, but it's no fault to yourself. It's because of the medication we're on. So speaking with our doctor about that issue is a really good point. But also having something in the house that's healthy in the event that you're not able to go out or you're having a bad day and you want to stay home, and at least you have those kinds of good foods at home to eat. And once again, Progress Place has a great meal plan. So it's nice to know there's places out here that can help us. Also, Regent Park Community Center. And so it was nice to have you explain all those things to us. You are listening to Radio Total Normal Toronto. Thanks for tuning in. You are listening to Marlene. I'm your host for today. We just listened to an interview on how we can do meal planning on a budget. Before our next segment that features our cafe in Progress Place, we prepared a short segment about two myths that the clubhouse members are curious about. Let's listen to the interview conducted by Jody, our clubhouse member, with Rachel, the dietitian.
Hi, my name is Jody. I'm a member at Progress Place. It's nice to meet you. I have some truth or myths that need to be busted. The first one is, are fresh fruits and veggies healthier than frozen or canned veggies?
First of all, it's nice to meet you, Jody. Happy to answer your myths. So that is a great question and one that I love talking about because it comes up so often. So frozen and canned fruits and vegetables can be just as healthy than fresh vegetables. And sometimes, conversely, it even has more vitamins and minerals than the fresh ones do. This is because if something is grown very far away, it has to be picked before it is ripe to, you know, withstand the long travel to the store and to our kitchens. Whereas if something is picked when it's frozen, it's picked at the peak freshness and frozen immediately. So it kind of sustains those vitamins and minerals. So that's why sometimes it can even be better. But for frozen, certain things, we do have to remember certain produce doesn't freeze as well. So that's why you might not see certain fruits or vegetables frozen. And when it comes to canned, canned vegetables will have some salt in the water that it's canned in. So we just highly encourage you to drain the water and maybe rinse it off to get some of the extra salt off. And when it comes to canned fruit, first of all, we want to try to buy them packed in water, not packed in juice or syrup. But if the only one you can get is syrup or juice, then we just again encourage you to drain it so we don't have the extra sugar.
Thank you. The next myth is, should you wash chicken before you cook it?
So in our public health guidelines in Canada state that we should not wash our chicken before we cook it. So the reason being is because most of the time when we're buying chicken here, you know, it's kind of ready to go. It's ready to eat. There's no feathers on it. There's not a lot of prep work that has to be done. So the reason why we don't want to wash the chicken is for a lot of people, if you're washing it, you know, the water might splash from the raw chicken onto the different surfaces of your kitchen. And when that happens, it could spread some bacteria that could be on the raw chicken, which could make us sick. So we always have to be very careful when we're handling raw meat so as to not spread bacteria. That's why when we have it ready to go, we just want to put it in the pan, you know, put the wrapper in the trash and practice good hand washing skills.
Thank you, Jody and Rachel, for bringing us this segment. I have to say, I often wash my chicken, and water does get splashed around in my kitchen. So I really appreciate that tip because I will no longer be washing chicken now that I know that it's ready to eat and it's already cleaned. So I'll be practicing better preparation in my kitchen now when I often cook my chicken. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate it.
Cafe is also one of the best prices in town for lunch. Was it $2.50 or $2 or something? Can't get a better price anywhere, man.
For really good food. Oh, yeah. And unlike fast food places, this is more like a restaurant.
It's not deep fried and under a heat lamp or anything.
It's more nutritious. So that we're learning to eat healthier and enjoying the food at the same time.
Yeah.
We don't make deep fried stuff and... we use the oven instead to bake fries and other dishes.
It warms my heart to know that there's people that are with us right now, that they're going through a hard situation and they don't have to like pay too much, and they get to have our food that we prepare for them.
On the topic of meal preparation, Progress Place Clubhouse has a cafe unit who cook our lunch and dinners in our building. We interviewed a cafe staff and cafe member to find out more about how they prepare food for all the members in the clubhouse that are nutritious, varied, and delicious. Let's enjoy this interview that was conducted by our clubhouse member, Michael.
My name is Michael, and I'm here in the cafe unit with two gentlemen. Can you introduce yourself?
I'm Maddie. I am a member at Progress Place. Been here for 7 years and a proud member of the Cafe Union.
I'm Eric, and I've been at Progress Place as a staff full-time since 2000.
Wow. And can you tell us what the Cafe Union does?
We do all the prep work for the lunch and dinners at the clubhouse. Well, during the work order day, which is Monday to Friday. And we all start off with a meeting during the day, and we kind of ask people what part of the meal they want to work on. Eric, anything to add?
So we do all the major cooking for the clubhouse, but we have a health and wellness program, which is a combination of stuff. We have some meetings where it will happen once a week, where we have different topics about, could be from diabetes. They could talk about different elements and types of foods and nutrition around sugars. We have a workout room where people are able to work out. We also then, with our health and wellness, we look at making sure we're providing nutritious meals. We also run a boutique that offers clothing that we get donations, brand new clothing that members are capable of buying at a very cheap cost. Mm-hmm. But our main area of work is really getting the made food prep and ordering the stuff, doing cash and counter and stuff like that for the meals of the clubhouse.
That's quite a number of things. Can you take us through the meal planning process?
But we do a whole bunch of different things on the unit. The process is usually at our meetings that Maddie had mentioned before. One of the days we'll go around the table asking people for a variety of menu ideas. So it's not just coming from one or two people, but members and staff sharing. So we can sometimes have meals from various people's cultural or heritage backgrounds. From there, we do a major order of food where it comes and gets delivered into the clubhouse, and we then get that going. And then on a daily basis, we'll then, after we've made that menu, we'll prepare those foods. Maddie was describing earlier that in the meeting, we'll ask people what they want to do, which would include...
Usually there's a lot of chopping to be done, and then there's, depending on what we're making, adding spices, different things we're like putting in the oven and then taking out of the oven, just being clear on when we're doing that, because we have like different timing things where we have to do.
With our meals, we'll always make sure we provide a salad,
right?
And so it's we try and follow the Canadian Food Guide to make sure that meals are nutritious, not just eating with stuff that tastes good but also looks good, so it's colorful and stuff like that. We'll make homemade soups. Some of the stuff we'll pre-plan, but we always leave room for creativity on the day. Maybe if we're making a snack or the soup, we'll just figure out that particular day with what we have on hand or what people are suggesting and their ideas.
And I think we also talked about before, Erica, about portion size. We try to keep a decent amount of food, but also don't overdo it. And we always try to make sure our sodium isn't too high, because you know, you can always add sodium, but you can't take it away once it's in the meal. And I feel like when you go to fast food or any restaurant, the sodium's very high. So I don't know, try to keep it down for different health reasons.
And also we've learned tricks of how to reduce sugars in food, so that way we reduce that stuff. A lot of people with mental health struggle sometimes with weight or diabetes and stuff like that, so we try and be mindful of that in the food that we prepare every day.
I don't know if we're going off topic, but I remember before I came to the clubhouse, I would make, because of the mental state I was in, I don't know, with other members, I wanted something quick, easy, and just get it over with. I didn't really think about anything that was healthy or nutritious or what nutrients were going into my body, but because of the things we do at the clubhouse, it was one of the things I could take care of myself and grow from there.
I've heard from people, members and staff, commenting if it, we didn't eat at the clubhouse, we wouldn't necessarily always get as many vegetables in our diet.
No.
And definitely it helps make us a little more conscious of what we're putting in our bodies, and hopefully as members and staff are here, they learn that stuff as we're working to feed the clubhouse, that hopefully then people take home those habits and start eating a little more better nutrition and healthier at home.
Sounds wonderful. I'm getting hungry. You've already covered that the meals are also very healthy as well as delicious. So just a random question. What is the one thing you like best about being part of the cafe unit?
One?
Oh boy.
One of the biggest.
100? No.
What comes to mind?
You know, one of the things that I always really enjoy is how we can all come together, all different walks of life, and just have a good laugh while we're working. Everybody, no matter who you are, we have our struggles and our problems in life and family and things like that. And it's so nice just to gather around food, which no matter who you are, you have something in common there. And just have, and working as a big, huge group on our unit. Some of the other areas of the clubhouse, you move off into all your different corners. But I would say our unit is probably always quite social, and we're always working side by side with each other. And really, as we work on that food, it gives us a chance just to get to know one another.
As much as I like doing the tasks around the clubhouse, it's obviously about, it's kind of cliche to say, but it's really about the people, it's about the members, it's about the staff, it's about connection. And the task, I put pride in it, because it's for the clubhouse. It goes back into the clubhouse. It just gives me more incentive, because I'm proud of being in this unit, I'm proud of being a member, and if I can clean a table or do food prep, knowing that it's going to be, make the clubhouse look nice and put into the stomachs of its members that wouldn't normally wouldn't have the funds to afford. Like, I'm all for doing the work, so.
And that even, that we're helping out other areas of the clubhouse, or people like Maddie had said too, maybe some of the members don't have the money to get big, huge, fancy meals for $2.50 for lunch. And you get a salad and an entree and all that other stuff, it's hard to go wrong. And then we all get to sit down as a big, huge community and eat together.
That's the other part that I love. When the meal's done and then you get to take part in the having the meal, but also connecting with the other members. And it's about community, right?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing your thoughts and thanks for all you do. I appreciate you taking the time to talk about the great work that the cafe unit is doing here at Progress Place. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thanks, Maddie and Eric. I'm really impressed with all the tips that you provided us today, including that you follow the Canada Food Guide, you look at portion control, you make sure there's not much sodium or sugar in the foods that we eat, and you always provide vegetables or a salad, which is really good. And, you know, it's nice to know that we're getting really good food here. There's no chemicals in it. Most of the stuff that you make, I think all the stuff that you make is homemade. So that's very nice. And also the connection that you mentioned about when we have our meals downstairs in the cafe at lunch, we socialize and we connect with other people. And I agree with you, Maddie, about being proud of being a member here and participating in things. And so thank you for both of you for preparing our meals and taking the time to make sure that they're healthy and the right portion. So I really appreciate that. So I hope you enjoyed the conversation about the meal preparation that we do at Progress Place Cafe. In this episode, we talked about the link between eating well and mental health, as well as shared some tips on meal planning that we can all incorporate into our lifestyle. If you're looking for a community to be part of your mental health recovery, please visit a clubhouse near you. Clubhouse International reaches over 100,000 people living with mental illness per year in 320 plus clubhouses in 34 countries. Please visit clubhouseinternational.org to find a clubhouse in your community. A special thank you to our interviewers of RTNT and Rachel, the dietitian from Regent Park Community Health Center. And thank you to all the members and staff of Progress Place who worked hard on each month to create a recurring episode of Radio Totally Normal Toronto. Thank you to our listeners. Please share this episode with your friends and family. Thank you for tuning in, and we hope you found our conversation engaging and informative. To learn more about RTNT or to listen to previous episodes, please check out radiototallynormaltoronto.org, and you can stream RTNT on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about Progress Place, you can visit progressplace.org or check us out on social media and also come in for a tour. Thank you for listening and have a great day.